And welcome, brethren, to the 1986 Bible Students Convention at Albion. While driving to the convention yesterday, reminiscing of past conventions, I wondered, who will we see at the Bible Students Convention this year? Well, the committee will be there. The speakers, the chairman, the convention, testimony leaders. There will be those rugged and mature individuals who come year after year. This is their life. And the Lord willing, they will be here too. Then there are younger brethren, those who are raising families, and families bring problems. They'll be here too, if at all possible. There are those who were immersed maybe last year or previous years. They have tasted that the Lord is good, and we expect that they will be here too. Then there are the very, very young and the young adults. And the world presents many problems for our young people today. They need our help. The best we can do is to teach, advise, and encourage them in the way of truth. And we have competent brethren who will do that. Lastly, there will be some at this convention who have never made a public declaration of their consecration to the Lord. This will be another opportunity for them. Prior to our consecration, the Lord said this. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart. And the very fact that we are here is indicative that we heard that call. Our Heavenly Father saw some quality in us, and He suggests that we give ourselves over to His will. And we did. We gave Him our heart, and He fills it with His Spirit. And now He returns our heart to us with the words, keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. Keep yourself in the love of God. These consecrated ones become stewards, and God's word has much to say about stewards, mainly that a steward must remain faithful. He must be a minister of Christ and knowledgeable of the plan of God. Such are expected to be zealous and energetic servants. In 1 Peter 4:24, we read in part, Jesus came to bear our sins on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and live in righteousness. When the scripture is quoted, many are quick to say, 1 John 2, verse 2, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that's true. Jesus did die for the sins of the whole world. But there is a time feature in this plan of God that many do not recognize or are willing to ignore. That time feature reveals that our Lord is taking out of these people, of people for His name. They are to be kings and priests in the next age. Acts 15:14, then the remainder of men may seek the Lord. Of course we are happy our sins are forgiven. But in addition to that, we can be the first fruits of a new creation. The very ones our Heavenly Father will in time bless all the world. And we look forward to that day when God's Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh, when all shall come to a knowledge of the truth and serve God in total harmony. So there is more in coming to Jesus than merely confessing our sins and being washed in water. It is a profound commitment to be buried with Christ, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus for the remainder of our lifetime. In all four Gospels, we read how Jesus fed the multitude miraculously with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The details of this miracle are not the same in each gospel, but let us, at this time, focus our attention on the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, the 34th to the 44th verse. There we read that the multitude had been 3 days in the desert with Jesus and had nothing to eat, and Jesus had compassion on them. Nevertheless, by power and authority from the Heavenly Father, Jesus fed them all. All were filled, and 12 baskets full remaining. Who brought the baskets? Did each individual bring his own basket, or were baskets a part of the miracle? Well, we don't really know that. We are not to pick apart parables and miracles as we do types. Types are perfect in every detail, while parables and miracles teach primary lessons. And here the lesson is that our Heavenly Father is kind and generous. Our cup overflows with His promised blessings. And then Mark tells us in chapter 6, verse 40, that this was an orderly multitude, that they obediently sat down on the grass in groups of hundreds and fifties. Our Heavenly Father is a God of order and not of confusion. In this matter, all were numbered, all were filled, not one was overlooked. And notice, too, that there is a lesson in verse 41. Jesus looked to heaven and blessed the bread. Jesus came into this world not only to preserve and redeem, but also to feed and to nourish. In Him, there is plenty for all. Verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. I cannot believe that those who had been hungry for 3 days would be wasteful in any way or misuse what Jesus had so miraculously provided, nor would have Jesus allowed it. In John 6, verse 12, Jesus specifically said this, "Gather up the fragments that remain and let nothing be lost." Brother Russell's comments tell us that it was not pieces left by the multitude that were gathered, but rather the fragments that Jesus had broken that had not yet been distributed. But there were 12 baskets remaining. And so the lesson for us is that we make good use of all that our Lord has provided and let nothing be wasted. The very lesson in this miracle is that our Heavenly Father gives sufficiently and abundantly for all. We read Malachi 3, verse 10. "Prove me, says our Heavenly Father, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive it. Do we fully grasp what our Heavenly Father is telling us here? He says, prove me, measure me, test me, try me. Demonstrate to me that you are really my son, walking in Jesus' footsteps and doing my will, and I will bless you beyond measure. I will pour out my Spirit upon you continuously, abundantly, prosperously. I will not deny you any good thing. And so for us, our basket is full. It is running over. Our hearts and minds are rejoicing. We have come somewhat empty-handed, and we ask, Lord, fill my cup. Fill it to overflowing. Fill my heart with love for my brethren. Feed my mind with truth and fill my heart and mind with a firm desire to do thy will. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, the apostle gently reminds us that we are not perfect. We are earthy creatures. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The newly begotten mind is in harmony with God's Holy Spirit. However, this earthen tabernacle is fragile, full of holes, not fully fit and secure for such a precious treasure. A year ago, we adjourned from this place. We were filled and overflowing with love for the truth, with a firm determination that we would serve our Master better than we had ever served Him before. And we did. We did our best. But now we have returned somewhat exhausted. Exhausted from the trials and demands of a busy life. And here again we come to be revitalized and prepared for further service. The convention committee understands this. They have arranged a program that will revive and strengthen our ambitions to be better servants. There will be discourses on many subjects. Our brethren will do their very best to bring from God's storehouse those things we especially need. There will be a testimony meeting each day to give all an opportunity to offer their praise and thanksgiving for blessings and favors received. There will be reports and messages of love from those far and near who have found it impossible to be with us again this year. There will be panel discussions on selected subjects so pertinent to the time in which we live. There will be an immersion service for those who wish to publicly proclaim their consecration to do the Lord's will. There will be classes and recreation programs for the young. There will be intermissions for fellowship to greet those whom we love but seldom see. There will be transportation service to and from the auditorium for those who are unable to walk. There will be a public effort. Those details will be announced later. Conventions such as this are a blessing to many brethren. Bible history records how they assembled in fellowship together long ago. They walked many miles. They brought their own supplies and provisions that they might be with the Lord's people, if only for a few days. Brethren, we are living in a most blessed time. Our living today may be complex and difficult, but God's grace and mercy we have these refreshing sessions. Here we come to readjust our armor, to renew our spirit, to prepare ourselves for the battles that we know are sure to come. So this is our feast day, just as it was the Feast of Tabernacle for the Jews. It is a time for a study of God's Word, to hide these things in our heart, a time of blessing and favor. It is a time to be glad that we are numbered with the people of God. It is a time of rest and refreshment, to be apart from the world, the cares and concerns of a busy life, to be away from the newspapers, the telephone, the radio and TV. Regretfully, we realize that not all are able to attend the General Convention each year. For some, it is too far from home. For others, they are physically unable to be here. Others have obligations that keep them at home. And for some, it is not included in the family budget. Some brethren support this convention who cannot come themselves. Some come year after year, and then perhaps cannot come the next. But each individual situation is different. Brother Russell, in his time, suggested that if all cannot come, that one of a family come, or that one of an ecclesia come and relay the best things back home. Very few of the Lord's people have more than they need. For many, this is their vacation. This is a time to relax from the boredom and the responsibilities of a monotonous life. And the convention committee recognizes this too. They know that this place, its comforts and conveniences do not compare with the luxury and the superfluities of a seaside castle, but it comes close to what most brethren can manage. Children's subsidies assist those with large families who would otherwise perhaps not be able to come. This convention will continue long after the last service ends next Thursday evening. The entire convention program will be recorded on audio and videotape and made available to all. We have really, truly come to the time when Jesus said, "Let nothing be lost." Our hearts and our minds are filled to overflowing, praising God for this experience and for the blessings of the past and for being here this year again. There will be tracts and volumes and miscellaneous material available at the book table. There will be congregational singing and special music to inspire your hearts, especially those who need it most. Psalms 126:2 reads, "Our mouth is filled with laughter, our tongues with singing, because the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." There are friends who are, and college persons who are anxiously waiting to satisfy your carnal needs. And so the committee joins me in anticipation that you will stay with us the entire convention if that is possible. On Thursday evening, the last evening of the convention, there will be a love feast and the breaking of bread. This convention will accentuate our love for God, for our Lord Jesus, for the truth, and for the brethren. We read in Psalms 118:27, "Bind your sacrifice with cords even unto the horns of the altar." Not with little literal cords, of course, but with cords of love and zeal for the Lord. As we leave this place, We will wish each other well, thanking God for this blessed opportunity and this most intimate fellowship. The bread we break at this convention is not the bread we broke at Memorial Time. Memorial Time is a sad time. It is a once-a-year observance that reminds us that our Lord Jesus died and was buried, and for that we grieved. We read in Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came to break bread. And for as often as it permits, we do the same. Luke 24, 35, Jesus revealed himself to two disciples on the way to Emmaus. How? By breaking bread. They were glad. Their hearts burned within them. Our Lord has made it lucidly clear, and by His Spirit, that this is our feast day. The bread we will eat at this feast is merely an emblem of the bread that will fill our souls during these festivities. We are happy. We are glad. We shall leave this place with the message that indeed our Lord Jesus is risen, that He feeds His sheep in green pastures. And so this is our daily bread, the bread that strengthens and sustains us throughout the year until we can come again. The apostle is speaking to the new creation when he says, we need this bread. If we live only after the flesh, we shall die. And Jesus said in John 6:58, I am that bread. I am that bread which came down from heaven. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. And we say, Brother Chairman, come on with the feast. Thank you, Brother.